ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وبعد. And as to what follows, today we have the delight to be sitting in the presence of Sheikh Muhammad Hassan, who is a well-known da'iyah and student of knowledge from Egypt, well-known throughout the Middle East, the Arab world, and throughout the Muslim world in general. He's a person who has traveled to many different places. Inshallah, today he will be discussing with us the important point of let us increase our iman for an hour or for a moment. Let us think of how to increase our iman. فَلْيَتَفَضَّلْ مَشْكُورًا Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأحبابه وأتباعه وعلى كل من اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته وقطف أثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فحياكم الله جميعا أيها الأحبة الكرام وأشهد الله أنني أحبكم جميعا في الله وأسأل الله عز وجل أن يجمعنا مع المتحابين بجلاله في ظل عرشه يوم لا ظل إلا ظله هيا بنا نؤمن ساعة هذا هو عنوان محاضرتنا مع حضراتكم وكما تعودت فسوف ينتظم حديثي مع حضراتكم في هذا الموضوع المهم في العناصر التالية: أولا تجديد الإيمان، ثانيا قسوة القلوب، ثالثا إلى أين المصير، رابعا متى سنتوب. أولا تجديد الإيمان. الإيمان قول وعمل، قول باللسان وتصديق بالزمان وعمل بالجوارح والأركان. يزيد بالطاعة وينقص بالذنوب والعصيان. قال تعالى: هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. فلقد أثبت الله عز وجل في الآية زيادة في الإيمان ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. وفي الحديث الذي رواه الطبراني والحاكم هو حديث حسن أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص: إن الإيمان ليخلق في جوف أحدكم كما يخلق الثوب، أي كما يبلى الثوب، فاسألوا الله أن يجدد الإيمان في قلوبكم.
الشيخ حفظه الله began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and blessings upon his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, and by making dua for us and him by saying first that he wishes to cause you to bear witness and to know that by Allah he loves you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he makes dua by saying May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has gathered us here together in love because of Him, gather us again together in the abode of eternity in Al-Jannah, insha'Allah. The topic for today, as the Shaykh has outlined for us, shall revolve around four main points. We have stated to you the topic sentence, which is, let us come together in belief for 1 hour. Let us remember Allah, come together in belief for 1 hour. The Shaykh insha'Allah shall focus on four main points as he has become accustomed to. First, Tajdeedul Iman, renewing faith. Secondly, the hardening of the hearts and its cure. Third, to where do we move? Where to are we going? What is our end? What are we striving for? Fourth, when will we turn to Allah in repentance? The Shaykh began with the first of the important points, which is Tajdeedul Iman, the renewing of our faith in increasing it, by making an important point from the points of the Aqeedah of belief in Allah, that we as Muslims believe Iman is a statement that is made due to belief in the heart that is shown by the actions of the body. Statement of the tongue, because of the belief in the heart, worked with the actions of the hands, the body, the limbs. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in the Qur'an, as the ulama have described, that Iman increases. Yazid bitta'a, increases when you obey Allah, and decreases when you disobey Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Qur'an, هو الذي, it is He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has brought down tranquility on the hearts of the believers to increase them in belief. The important point of this ayah is that Allah says that they are believers, but yet their belief is increased by Allah's mercy and tranquility descending upon them. Also in the hadith, which is narrated by Imam Al-Tabrani and Imam Al-Hakim, with a sanad that is hasan or good, sound hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iman decreases or becomes worn out as your clothing becomes worn out. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua by saying, may Allah allow you to renew your Iman. May Allah allow you, give you the ability to renew your faith.
وفي الحديث الذي رواه أبو نعيم والديلمي وهو حديث صحيح من حديث عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما من القلوب قلب إلا وله سحابة كسحابة القمر ما من القلوب قلب إلا وله سحابة كسحابة القمر فبين القمر مضيء إذ علته سحابة فأظلم فإذا تجلت عنه أضاء. نعم أيها الأحبة، إذا تراكمت سحب المعاصي والذنوب على القلب حجبت نور الإيمان في القلب، إذا تراكمت سحب المعاصي والذنوب حجبت نور الإيمان في القلب، وأصبح صاحب هذا القلب يعيش في وحشة، في ظلمة، ويصبح هذا القلب المظلم بالمعصية فريسة للشيطان وللهوى وللنفس الأمارة بالسوء، إذ أن مكمن الخطر أن الفتن تعرض على القلب، كما في صحيح مسلم من حديث حذيفة ابن اليمان رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تعرض الفتن على القلوب كعرض الحصير عودا عودا، تعرض الفتن على القلوب كعرض الحصير عودا عودا، فأي قلب أشربها نكتت فيه نكتة سوداء، وأي قلب أنكرها نكتت فيه نكتة بيضاء، حتى تعود القلوب على قلبين، قلب أسود مربادا كالكوز مزخيا لا يعرف معروفا ولا ينكر منكرا إلا ما أشرب من هواه، وقلب أبيض لا تضره فتنة ما دامت السماوات والأرض.
The Sheikh حفظه الله began by continuing and saying, also narrated by Abu Nu'aym and Ad-Daylami with an authentic chain of narrations, hadith sahih, from the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu wa ardah, that he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, no heart is free from having a cloud that may come and cover it up, just like how the moon may sometimes be covered up by clouds. Just like the moon will be covered up by clouds, the cloud will move in and shade the moon so that you will not be able to see its brightness. Such is the heart. When the cloud comes over it, its brightness is diminished. Its iman is diminished. The Sheikh explains to us this hadith by saying, these are the sins, the clouds are the sins that may come and cover one's heart. And when the heart becomes covered, it hides the brightness and the true faith, restricts it from shining and spreading throughout the rest of the body, influencing the person to do more and more good. For once a heart becomes darkened, Muslim, once it becomes darkened by sin, then it becomes a target for the shaitan, the devil, for al-hawa, lusts, for evil, for ma'asi, more sins. All of these things come later into play. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us, that the fitna, the trials, the tribulations, the evils are come and pass over the heart, as the hadith will explain to us soon. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith narrated by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Hudhaifa ibn Yaman, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fitna passes over or begins to envelop the heart just like how sticks, or you will build a shade one on top of the other until it will cover it. The more covering, the darker the heart will get. Until nuqtatun sawda, a dark spot, it may begin just with one dark spot, will be placed on the heart. This one sin will begin to spread and spread with more and more sinning until it will envelop the whole heart. Then this heart will be darkened and it will never order ma'roof, it will never order what is good, and will never prohibit what is evil. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us the example of the enlightened bright heart, which is the heart that is full of iman, that does not have these darkened covers of fitna and sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, as for this heart, it is free from all of this.
والسؤال الآن أيها الإخوة الكرام، كيف أجدد الإيمان في قلبي؟ إذا كان الإيمان يحتاج إلى تجديد، فكيف أجدد الإيمان في قلبي؟ ولتجديد الإيمان في القلب كثير من الوسائل. أولها ركوب سفينة النجاة وسط هذه الرياح الهوجاء والأمواج المتلاطمة من الفتن. هذه السفينة هي المساجد، أن تلزم بيوت الله عز وجل وأن تحافظ على الصلوات الخمس في جماعة، أن تحافظ على الصلوات الخمس في جماعة. فالصلاة تطهر القلب وتطهرك من الذنب. الصلاة إلى الصلاة كفارة لما بينهما مجتنبة الكبائر. فإن زل الإنسان في معصية ثم جاء إلى بيت الله عز وجل للصلاة غفر الله سبحانه وتعالى ذنبه وطهره ما دام لم يرتكب كبيرة من الكبائر. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في الحديث الذي رواه البخاري ومسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه: ألا أدلكم على ما يمحو الله به الخطايا ويرفع الدرجات؟ قالوا: بلى يا رسول الله. قال: إسباغ الوضوء على المكاره، أي على الأعضاء، أو في وقت شدة البرد. إسباغ الوضوء على المكاره، وكثرة الخطى إلى المساجد، وانتظار الصلاة بعد الصلاة. فذلكم الرباط، فذلكم الرباط، فذلكم الرباط. وفي الصحيحين أيضا من حديث أبي هريرة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: أرأيتم لو أن نهرا على باب أحدكم يغتسل فيه كل يوم 5 مرات، أيبقى من ضرمه شيء؟ أي هل سيبقى على جسمه شيء من القاذورات أو النجاسات؟ قالوا: لا يا رسول الله. قال: فذلك مثل الصلوات الخمس يمحو الله بهن الخطايا. وفي الصحيحين أيضا من حديث أبي هريرة أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من غدا إلى المسجد أو راح أعد الله له نزلا في الجنة كلما غدا أو راح.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah continues by saying, now you and I may be asking ourselves the important question of how do I renew my faith? How do I renew my iman? The Sheikh says there are many ways that a person may do this. The first of which that the Sheikh explains to us is by being linked constantly with the masajid, with the mosques. Especially by praying the 5 daily prayers if you have the ability in them. And this, as the Sheikh makes a simile, symbolism for us by saying it is like riding the only ship that is found when the dark seas are moving in. The dark seas of fitna. So this is the ship, this is the way to salvation. To enter into the masajid, enter them, pray your 5 daily prayers, meet the brothers, increase your iman in such a way. The Shaykh proves this to us with the authentic hadith narrated by both Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, should I not tell you of the thing that if you do, or the things that if you do it, it will remove and extinguish your sins and raise you higher and higher in levels? So the Sahaba asked him, what is this, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, to perform wudu at the times that may be of hardship. The Shaykh explains by giving us 2 understandings. Meaning, making wudu on your body parts fully. Or making wudu when it's cold. So even when it's cold and you don't feel like making wudu, you still make wudu. Also, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so we understood to make wudu at these times. To make wudu perfectly and at the times of hardship. To walk and increase your steps to the masajid. Come to the masajid. Be constantly entering the masajid. And third, to wait for 1 salah after you have prayed 1 inside the mosque. Also, the hadith where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked the Sahaba, if there was a river in front of any of your house, if in front of your house, do you think that if you took a bath in it 5 times a day, you would have any impurity on you? The Sahaba said, no, O Messenger of Allah. He told them, such is the 5 prayers in the masjid. Such is the 5 prayers. It cleanses your sins once after the other, every time you pray. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this hadith I had actually forgotten to translate it for you in the beginning. The salah after the salah clears the sins as long as the major sins are stayed away from. Salah, praying prayer after prayer, will cleanse your sins away as long as you stay away from the major sins.
ومن الوسائل التي تجدد الإيمان أيضا في القلب المواظبة والمحافظة على مجالس العلم. ففي مجلس العلم تتعلم الحلال والحرام والسنة والبدعة والخير والشر، وتسمع القرآن وتسمع كلام النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، فيرق قلبك ويتجدد إيمانك ويزداد. ولذلك يقول عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه: اطلب قلبك في 3 مواطن، اطلب قلبك في 3 مواطن: عند سماع القرآن، وفي مجالس الذكر، وفي أوقات الخلوة. عند سماع القرآن، وفي مجالس الذكر أي في مجالس العلم، وفي أوقات الخلوة أي حينما تكون وحيدا تغلق على نفسك الأبواب والنوافذ. اطلب قلبك في هذه المواطن، فإن لم تجد قلبك في هذه المواطن فسل الله أن يمن عليك بقلب فإنه لا قلب لك. فمجالس العلم تقوي الإيمان في القلب، تجدد الإيمان في القلب، تتعلم فيها عن الله وعن رسوله. لذا يا إخوة، يجب أن نعلم أن أول أمر ينبغي أن يطلب وأن يحرص على طلبه في هذه الدنيا هو العلم. ولم يأمر الله نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم بطلب الزيادة من شيء إلا من العلم. قال تعالى: وقل رب زدني علما. وكان النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام شديد الحفاوة بطلاب العلم، كما في الحديث الذي رواه الطبراني وغيره بسند جيد من حديث صفوان ابن عسال المرادي رضي الله عنه، قال: أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو متكئ في المسجد على برد له أحمر، فقلت: يا رسول الله، إني جئت أطلب العلم. فقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: مرحبا مرحبا بطالب العلم، إن طالب العلم تحفه الملائكة بأجنحتها، ثم يركب بعضهم بعضا حتى يبلغ السماء الدنيا من محبتهم لما يطلب. فمجالس العلم تقوي الإيمان في القلب. كذلك كثرة الذكر، ذكر الله في الليل والنهار وفي كل الأحوال والأحيان، كما في الصحيحين من حديث أبي موسى الأشعري أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: مثل الذي يذكر ربه والذي لا يذكر ربه كمثل الحي والميت. ومنها أيضا زيارة المقابر، زيارة مقابر المسلمين، ومنها أيضا عيادة المرضى، ومنها الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر، ومنها الصدقة، صدقة السر. كل هذا مما يجدد الإيمان في القلب.
The Sheikh continued and went on by saying, another thing that will help you in renewing your faith and increasing your faith is to be from those who sit amongst those who have knowledge seeking knowledge. To be constantly trying to seek knowledge and to sit in the places where knowledge is being dispensed and given out. For when you are sitting, as we are sitting, the Sheikh points out today, you learn what is halal, what is haram. You learn what is sunnah, what is bid'ah. You learn what is good, what is evil. You learn verses from the Qur'an and their explanations. You learn hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the truth in them. All of these are things that you will only find when you are in the company of those who are dispensing the knowledge that is rightfully the first thing that you should be seeking. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, and this is an important thing that you are to focus on. He says, seek your heart in three places. Try to find if you have a heart in one of these three places. When you listen to the Qur'an, see if you feel something in your heart. When you are in the state of dhikr, talabul ilm, people speaking of knowledge, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, verses of the Qur'an, when you are in the state of being reminded of Allah, see, do you feel something in your heart? And when you are alone by yourself. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, in the three places. If you look and you see that you don't feel something in your heart, ask Allah to give you a heart, for you have not been given one. The Shaykh continues by saying, Hafidhahullah, that the first thing, the most important thing that a person should seek is knowledge. As we see, the Prophet ﷺ was never ordered anywhere in the Qur'an by Allah to ask Allah for an increasement of something except knowledge. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Taha, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, and ask me, supplicate to me, O Muhammad ﷺ, increase me in knowledge. O Allah, increase me in knowledge. Also, in the authentic hadith narrated by al-Imam al-Tabrani with a sanad that is jayyid, with a chain of narrations that is good, from the hadith of Safwan, that he says he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he found him lying down on a red carpet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he came to him and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I have come seeking knowledge. جِئْتُ أَطْلُبَ الْعِلْمِ. So the Prophet ﷺ sat up and told him, مَرْحَبًا بِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ, happiness, good tidings, welcome to the one who is coming to seek knowledge. Verily the one who comes to seek knowledge is enveloped by the angel's wings. And they ride one on top of the other until they reach the sky of this dunya for the love of what he has come in seeking. The Shaykh also mentions to us the authentic hadith narrated by both Bukhari and Muslim, by Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu arda. He says, the parable or the example of the one who remembers Allah, الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ, and the one who does not remember Allah, meaning knowledge, also is like the living and the dead. Also from the things that will renew our faith, the Shaykh went on quickly without giving us lots of explanation due to our time limit, is ordering what is good, forbidding what is evil, giving sadaqah when no one may know, no one may see you. Doing all of these worshipping acts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you and renew your faith.
إذن أيها الأحبة لابد من تعهد القلب لتجديد الإيمان فيه, لا سيما ونحن نعيش الآن عصرا طغت فيه الماديات والشهوات وقست فيه القلوب وقل فيه الخوف من علام الغيوب وتراكمت فيه الذنوب على الذنوب, أي في هذا العصر. وهذا هو عنصرنا الثاني من عناصر المحاضرة, قسوة القلب. القلب القاسي هو الذي لا يتأثر بآية ولا يتأثر بحديث
ولا يهتز ولا يتحرك لموعظة. والله جل وعلا يقول: ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون. القلب القاسي لا يهتز القرآن ولا تؤثر فيه الموعظة. لأن القلب لا يتأثر بالموعظة ولا يتحرك لها إلا إن كان مملوءا بالحب لله والخوف من الله جل وعلا. فالخوف من الله يا إخوة ثمرة حتمية للإيمان في القلب، ثمرة حتمية لمحبة الله وللخوف من الله سبحانه وتعالى. من عرف الله أحبه وخافه أجله، قدر الله حق قدره. فالخوف ثمرة لازمة للإيمان. قال تعالى: إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه فلا تخافوهم وخافون إن كنتم مؤمنين. إن كنت مؤمنا لابد أن تخاف الله عز وجل. فالخوف من الله ثمرة حتمية للإيمان. أما القلب القاسي، قلب لا يخشى الله، وإن ذكر بالله لا يتذكر، وإن ذكر بكلام النبي لا يتأثر، وإن سمع الموعظة لا يتحرك. وعلى قدر الخوف من الله جل وعلا يكون الإيمان في القلب، على قدر مراقبة الله جل وعلا في السر والعلن يكون الإيمان في القلب. ولذلك الخوف الحقيقي من الله هو الذي يحول بين العبد وبين معصية الله، أي ليس الخائف من يبكي ويمسح عينيه، ولكن الخائف من يترك ما يخاف أن يعاقبه الله عليه. ليس الخائف من يبكي ويمسح عينيه، ولكن الخائف من يترك ما يخاف أن يعاقبه الله عليه. ولذلك بين الله سبحانه أنه لا يتأثر بالموعظة إلا من يخشاه، ولا يعتبر بأخذ الله للمجرمين ولا بإهلاك الله للظالمين إلا من خاف عذاب الله في الآخرة. قال تعالى: وكذلك أخذ ربك إذا أخذ القرى وهي ظالمة إن أخذه أليم شديد إن في ذلك لآية لمن خاف عذاب الآخرة ذلك يوم مجموع له الناس وذلك يوم مشهود وما نؤخره إلا لأجل معدود يوم يأتي لا تكلم
يظلم نفس إلا بإذنه فمنهم شقي وسعيد فأما الذين شقوا ففي النار لهم فيها زفير وشنيق خالدين فيها ما دامت السماوات والأرض إلا ما شاء ربك إن ربك فعال لما يريد وأن الذين سعدوا ففي الجنة خالدين فيها ما دامت السماوات والأرض إلا ما شاء ربك عطاء غير مجزوز.
إذن القلب الحي القلب الذي ينبض بالإيمان هو الذي يتأثر بالموعظة هو الذي يتحرك للقرآن هو الذي يتحرك لكلام النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. فلا بد من أن نتعاهد قلوبنا لنزيل قسوة القلب فلو مرض إنسان فينا بمرض من أمراض القلب العضوية يبحث عن أكبر الأطباء ليبذل له العلاج ولو كلفه آلاف الدولارات وقد تمرض قلوبنا وربما تموت ونحن في غفلة ولا نبحث لها عن طبيب بين أهل العلم من المتخصصين في مداوات ومعالجة القلوب بكلام علام الغيوب وكلام الحبيب المحبوب.
The Sheikh hafizahullah began by saying each of us must take an oath with himself with his heart must make a covenant with himself with his heart try to speak to it take an oath from it so that we may know that the times that we are living in are the times of sins desires seeking of wealth and forgetting about the days when we will not be on this earth, forgetting about what will come later on. And the cure to this is that we must have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cleanse our hearts and soften them. And this is the Shaykh's second point in our discussion today, the hardening of the hearts and how to soften them, cleanse them and bring them back to what is right. The hardened heart is the heart that has no effect, feels no effect when the Qur'an is recited, or when the hadith are narrated, or when sincere advice is dispensed and given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, in Surah Az-Zumur, is it not time for those, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Surah Al-Hadid, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Is it not time now for those whose hearts have become hardened or for those who believe that they should look at the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow what He says and to cause their hearts to soften and let them not be like those who have come before them. فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ And their hearts became hardened against the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and many of them are in this state of disbelief, this hardening of the heart, forced them to move further and further and further away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them in guidance. Also, it is important that we know that the true fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala As is mentioned in this verse, is it not now time for the believers to establish the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts? أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ To establish this fear of Allah and their hearts to shudder at the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this fear of Allah, it is not that which is going to make you shed a tear and that is it, and then you wipe the tear away. The true fear of Allah is that which will prohibit you from doing the sin that Allah has prohibited. For many people may shed tears and wipe them, but they remain in the acts of sinning. So this is what the true fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. As the Shaykh gives us an important proverb, an Arabic proverb, by saying, true fear is not by removing the tear, but it is by removing yourself from that which Allah has prohibited. The Shaykh recited to us the surah, the end of Surah Hud, where he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is important, and I say this for the rest of the translations from here on in, that when the verses of Allah are translated, this is something that I'm doing at a quick time. You must return to the books of translation. This is important that you take this note. And such is the seizure of your Lord when He seizes a people while they are in the midst of their sin. Verily Allah's seizure is severe and hard. Verily Allah's seizure of them when He takes them to punishment is severe and hard. In this is a reminder for those of you who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those of you who fear the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forth the nations, and they will be brought forth, and everyone shall bear witness of the transpirings on this day of judgment. No delay, nothing can delay this day of judgment. ذلك يوم مجموع له الناس وذلك يوم مشهود. This day all of them will be gathered and all of them shall bear witness. No delay shall be for this. And those who did evil, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ, as for those who did evil, فَمَأْوَاهُمْ, their abode and their place shall be the fire. مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ, for as long as the heavens and earth will be in existence. As long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, as long as Allah wishes for them, they shall remain in this fire, and shall remain in this punishment for eternity. And then Allah moves on and gives us the example, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِدُوا, but as for those who did good and now shall be pleased, by Allah being pleased with them, Allah shall please them. فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ, their abode, their place, shall be paradise. Al-Jannah. They shall be given in it what they ask for. They shall be admitted to the Jannah for eternity, as long as the earth and the heavens are existent. إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ Allah, as long as Allah wishes. عَطَاءً, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall give them, and it shall not be taken away from them. This is something that we therefore must strive in, making our hearts softened by the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reflecting upon the verses of the Qur'an, studying it, implementing this fear and what we hear today. The Shaykh gives us another example and parable and says, if any of us was inflicted with a disease, marad, on a part of his body, he would search out and search throughout all of the lands, looking for the best surgeon, the best doctor, the most qualified specialist to treat him. But how many of us, our hearts are now full of this disease of not fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not once will we go and seek the help of a doctor of the hearts, the ulama, the scholars, those who will tell us Al-Qur'an wa Sunnah and instruct us with it, with sincerity, even if our hearts die and dissipate.
ومما يذهب قسوة القلب ويرقق القلب أن يفكر كل واحد فينا أيها الأحبة الكرام في مصيره، وهذا هو عنصرنا الثالث بإيجاز إلى أين المصير. والمصير في كلمتين اثنتين أيها الفضلاء، إما جنة وإما نار.
النار لا نقوى والله على حرها. كان عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه يقول: اتقوا النار فإن حرها شديد، وإن قعرها بعيد، وإن مقامعها حديد. قال الله عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. وقال سبحانه: وما أدراك ما الحطمة؟ نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مؤصدة في عمد ممددة. والآيات كثيرة، وفي الصحيحين من حديث أبي هريرة إنا جعلناها فتنة للظالمين إنها شجرة تخرج في أصل الجحيم طلعها كأنه رؤوس الشياطين فإنهم لآكلون منها فمالئون منها البطون. والضريع ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع، والغسلين خذوه فغلوه ثم الجحيم صلوه ثم في سلسلة ذرعها 70 ذراعا فاسلكوه إنه كان لا يؤمن بالله العظيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فليس له اليوم هاهنا حميم ولا طعام إلا من غسلين. والشراب في النار نار. إنا أعتدنا للظالمين نارا أحاط بهم سرادقها وإن يستغيثوا يغاثوا بماء كالمهل يشوي الوجوه. بئس الشراب وساءت مرتفقة. بماء كالمهل أي كالزيت الذي يفور من شدة الغليان. والثياب في النار نار. هذان خصمان اختصموا في ربهم فالذين كفروا قطعت لهم ثياب من نار يصب من فوق رؤوسهم الحميم يصهر به ما في بطونهم والجلود ولهم مقامع من حديد. إما نار وإما جنة. أسأل الله أن يجعلني وإياكم من أهل الجنة. الجنة فيها ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. وسأكتفي بحديثين اثنين عن الصادق الذي لا ينطق عن الهوى لأبين لحضراتكم شيئا من نعيم الجنة. ففي الصحيحين أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن أول زمرة يدخلون الجنة على صورة القمر ليلة البدر، ثم الذين يلونهم على أشد كوكب دري في السماء إضاءة لا يبولون ولا يتغوطون ولا يدخلون ولا ينتخطون. أنصاتهم الذهب ورصحهم المسك ومزامرهم الألوة وأزواجهم الحور العين. وفي صحيح مسلم من حديث المغيرة ابن شعبة قال: سأل موسى على نبينا وعليه الصلاة والسلام ربه عز وجل وقال: يا رب ما أدنى أهل الجنة منزلة؟ فقال الله تعالى: يا موسى ذاك رجل يقال له ادخل الجنة فينطلق ثم يرجع يقول: يا رب لقد نزل الناس منازلهم وأخذوا أخذاتهم. يخيل إليه أن الجنة قد ملئت وليس له مكان، فيقول الله له: انظر الى ملكي ادنى اهل الجنة منزلة، فيقول الله له: اترضى ان تكون لك الدنيا، اترضى ان يكون لك مثل ملك ملك من ملوك الدنيا؟ قال: رضيت يا رب، رضيت يا رب. فيقول الله سبحانه: لك ذلك ومثله 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 ومثله. فيقول العبد في الخامسة: رضيت يا رب، رضيت يا رب. فيقول الله عز وجل: لك ذلك وعشرة أمثاله معك. قال موسى: يا رب، هذا أدنى أهل الجنة منزلة، فما أعلاهم منزلة؟ فقال الله سبحانه: أولئك الذين أردت غرست كرامتهم بيدي وختمت عليها فلم تر عين ولم تسمع أذن ولم يخطر على قلب بشر.
The Sheikh Hafidhahullah, he continued by saying, now we move on in what removes the hardship, what removes this hardness from our hearts, and this is by knowing and thinking and contemplating what our final end will be, what is the final destination. And this is the third point of the talk with the Sheikh today. Where is the end? Where is your end? The Sheikh says it is one of two places. Either paradise or the fire. One of two. As for the fire, we have no strength and no capability of withstanding it. It is something that we cannot take or bear or hold the burden of. As Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, اتقوا النار, fear the fire, for its heat is severe. And its depth is long, it is deep, and its tools of punishment are made of hooked rods. Fear the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us with this in Surah Al-Tahrim: O ye who believe, قو أنفسكم وأهليكم, protect yourself and your family from a fire whose kindling shall be from stones and humans. From stones and humans. Over it, overseeing it, will be angels. غِلَابٌ شِدَادٌ. Strong and obedient to Allah. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. Never shall they disobey an order from Allah when He orders them. And they do what they are ordered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this quite clear, that we are to fear the fire and try to protect ourselves from it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, that as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that this fire, the hottest fire that we have in this dunya, the fire that we could feel in this dunya, it is one of 70 parts of the fire of the Akhirah. The Sahaba, when he told them this sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, if it was just this one, it would be enough. He told them, no, the other 69 are multiplied in heatness. So one multiplied by one, added on, and two, add the third, and multiply for 70. This is how hot the fire is. Also, the Shaykh Hafidhahullah explains to us, using the verses in the Quran, that the fire, it will be encompassing and taking in those who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it shall be a severe punishment for them. The Shaykh gives us examples of things that we use today: food, drink, and clothing. As for the food of the people of the fire, in itself it is fire. The ta'am of the people of the fire is fire.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this to us in the Quran, الزقوم, شجرة الزقوم, طعام الأثيم. The Shaykh gives us the verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have made this food, this zaqoom, as a food of the people of the fire. Its roots are in the deepest of the fire. It is a tree that is planted in the fire. طَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Its fruits, or the things that will be consumed by the people in the fire, represents or looks like the heads of the devils. This is the food of the people. And after they have eaten, they want to drink, or when they call out to Allah and they ask for something, and when they call out to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall order that they shall have boiling oil poured on them. كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي يَغْلِي الْبُطُونَ فِي الْبُطُونَ. This oil shall be thrown on them, and when they drink it, it shall boil inside them and burn their faces. The clothing, something that you use to protect yourself from coldness or hot. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj, هَذَانِ خَصْمَانِ. Two groups of people, those who believe in Allah and those who disbelieved in Allah. اختصموا في ربهم. They were in disagreement. You disagree with those who disbelieve in Allah. As for those who believe, Allah shall reward them. As for those who disbelieved, they shall be entered in the fire. They shall be entered in the fire. They shall have clothing tailored for them. Tailored for them, specific to their measurements. And they shall be beaten with al-maqami'. وَلَهُمْ مَقَامِعُ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. These hooked rods and hooked things that they shall be beaten with for their transgressions and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh made dua for us by saying, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us from the people who will never enter into the fire for the form of punishment, and make us from the people of al-Jannah. Allahumma ameen. As for the people of the Jannah, they shall have what no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and what could not have been imagined by any human being. The Shaykh says, I will give you only two hadith from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the time is constricted. The first of one of them is the hadith which is muttafaqun alayhi, agreed upon, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَّلُ زُمْرَةٍ, the first of people who shall be brought to the Jannah in a group, in a zumra, in a group, to the gates of Jannah, they shall appear and have the same brightness like al-Badr, like the shining full moon. And they shall be entered into the Jannah. And then the next zumra, the next group that shall be brought, shall come to the gates, and they shall have the brightness of the clearest and brightest star in the sky. And they shall be entered into the Jannah. In it, none of them will need to urinate. None of them will sneeze. None of them will spit. None of them will have these human flaws in them. Their combs shall be made of a dhahab, of gold. Their sweat shall be the scent of musk. Their wives shall be from al-hur al-ain. The women that Allah has created in the Jannah, which no eye has seen. None of these women created specifically for you, servant of Allah. The second hadith is the hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam narrates that Musa, the Prophet and Messenger of Allah alayhi salam, Moses, came and asked. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will be the reward of the lowest person in the Jannah? For if you know what the bare minimum will be, everything above it is better. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, it will be a man who will be told, ادخل الجنة, enter into the Jannah. And when he will go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it seem that there is no place for him. Everyone has taken their spots. And he will come back and he will say, Ya Allah, نزل الناس, the people have taken their spots and their seats, and everyone has what he wishes for, except me. So Allah will tell him, would you be content, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be given the kingdom of the richest king that ever lived on this earth? And the man will say, yes, of course I agree, O Allah, I wish for this. So Allah will tell him, you shall have this, and one more, and one more, and one more, and one more. And on the fifth one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply this for him. And on the fifth multiplication of this kingdom that he would be given by Allah, and this is the lowest person, he shall say, this is enough for me, O Allah, I am now content. Allah shall tell him, you will have all of this and 10 times its amount. So Musa alayhi salam acted in the same way you did, and he said, if this is what the lowest will get, what about those who are higher up? So Allah answered him by saying, these are the ones I have chosen. I have planted for them and prepared for them in the Jannah with my own hand what they shall have. There in it shall be what no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and nothing that can be imagined by the heart of a human.
وأعلى نعيم في الجنة هو النظر إلى وجه الله عز وجل. قال الله سبحانه, وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. وفي صحيح مسلم من حديث صهيب رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, إذا دخل أهل الجنة الجنة قال الله عز وجل, يا أهل الجنة هل رضيتم؟ فيقول أهل الجنة, وما لنا لا نرضى وقد أدخلتنا الجنة ونجيتنا من النار. فيقول الله عز وجل, أفلا أعطيكم أفضل من ذلك؟ فيقول أهل الجنة, وأي شيء أفضل من ذلك؟ فيقول الله سبحانه, أحل عليكم رضواني فلا أسخط عليكم بعده أبدا. يقول فيكشف الحجاب, فما أعطوا شيئا أحب إليهم من النظر إلى وجه الله عز وجل. قال تعالى, للذين أحسنوا الحسنى وزيادة, والحسنى هي الجنة, والزيادة هي النظر إلى وجه الله عز وجل في الجنة. أحزان قلبي لا تزول حتى أبشر بالقبول, وأرى كتابي باليمين وتقر عيني بالرسول.
The chef says, after hearing all of this, this is still not the biggest of blessings that is found in the Jannah. Do you know what the greatest of blessings is? It is being able to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Qur'an, on this day, there will be faces that will be brightened, gazing at their Lord, at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To their Lord they shall be looking. And as is also narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, an authentic hadith, from the hadith of Suhaib radiallahu anhu ardah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the people of Jannah shall enter the Jannah and they have taken their spots, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall gather them and He shall ask them, have you now become content? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after asking them this question, will wait for their answer. And when they answer him, they shall say, how could we not be content, O Allah? You have allowed us to escape the fire and to be admitted to the Jannah. You have allowed us to escape from the fire and to be admitted to the Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall answer them by saying, should I not tell you, or should I not give you what is the best of things to receive? And they shall say, yes, O Allah, what more can you give us? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall give them the promise that He will never become angered with them, and that He shall give them His forgiveness from then on in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, shall remove his cover, and they shall look to his face subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah has narrated, as said in the Quran about al-husna wa ziyada lilladhina ahsanu, for those who have done righteousness, they shall be given what is good and blessed, and a ziyada, and not just what they deserve, but an increasement. The Imams of Tafsir, they tell us this increasement that Allah shall give them is that He shall allow us to look to His face, subhanahu wa ta'ala, on this day in al-Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them. The Shaykh gives us the few verses of poetry where he says, the pain shall never, and this is something that is hard to translate poetry in such a short time without having the text, the pain of my heart shall never be lessened or removed until I know I have been granted forgiveness and I have been granted contentness by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and until I know that I am now in the companionship and with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Jannah.
فهيا أيها الأحبة الكرام إلى التوبة إلى الأوبة إلى الله عز وجل. وهذا هو عنصرنا الأخير، متى سنتوب؟ يا حسرتاه إن دعيت الآن إلى التوبة وما أجبت، يا أسفاه إن ذكرت اليوم بالله سبحانه وتعالى وما تبت. لا تخوف، فإن الموت يأتي بغتة، فعاهد ربك الآن على التوبة والأوبة، وكن على يقين مهما كثرت ذنوبك ومعاصيك، كن على يقين أن الله عز وجل يغفر الذنوب جميعا ما دمت توحد الله سبحانه. قال تعالى: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. وقال تعالى: قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. وفي الحديث الذي رواه مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: والذي نفسي بيده لو لم تذنبوا لذهب الله بكم وجاء بقوم يذنبون فيستغفرون فيغفر الله لهم. وفي صحيح البخاري لما رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم امرأة في السبي تبحث عن ولدها، فلما وجدت المرأة ولدها ألزقته ببطنها وأرضعته، فقال النبي لأصحابه: أترون هذه الأم طارحة ولدها في النار؟ قالوا: لا يا رسول الله. فقال المصطفى: لله أرحم بعباده من رحمة الأم بولدها. وأختم بهذا الحديث الذي رواه البخاري ومسلم من حديث عبد الله بن عمرو من حديث عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: يدنى المؤمن من ربه يوم القيامة حتى يضع رب العزة عليه كنفه ويقرره بذنوبه. يقرر الرب العبد المؤمن بذنوبه، فيقول له سبحانه: لقد عملت كذا وكذا في يوم كذا وكذا، أي من المعاصي والذنوب.
وعملت كذا وكذا في يوم كذا وكذا، فيقول المؤمن رب أعرف رب أعرف، فيقول الله جل وعلا ولكني سترتها عليك في الدنيا وأغفرها لك اليوم. لكن التوبة لها شروط. الأول الإقلاع عن المعاصي والذنوب، الثاني الندم على ما مضى، فالندم هو ركن التوبة الأعظم، الثالث أن تداوم على العمل الصالح الذي يقربك من الله عز وجل. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يتقبل منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال، وأن يسترنا وإياكم في الدنيا والآخرة، وأن يرزقنا جميعا قبل الموت توبة، وعند الموت شهادة، وبعد الموت جنة ونعيما ورضوانا. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
The Sheikh now concludes with his fourth and final point of the lecture. Let us now turn to Allah in repentance. The Sheikh warns himself and you by saying, woe be to the person who, when he is reminded of repentance or asked and reminded of repentance and does not from his own initiative turn to Allah in repentance. For this is one of the surest signs that he is now in a state of transgression against himself. All of you must know that death will come unannounced. It will not give you a notice. It will come unannounced. And know that also, no matter how much you have sinned, the doors of tawbah are opened until this day. You can always turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness and for His repentance. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Allah forgives all of the sins except that you take partners in worship with Him. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, O my servants, who have transgressed against their own selves by disobeying Allah. By disobeying Allah, transgressing against their own selves. Turn back to Allah and ask Him for His repentance, for His forgiveness, and turn to Him in repentance. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. And know that Allah shall forgive all of your sins, all types and shades of sins, as you stay away from the shirk. And as is narrated by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu arda, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making this to us clear, said, by He who holds my soul in His hand, if you were a people who did not commit sins, Allah would have removed you and brought people who do sin, but ask Him for His forgiveness. Also the hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sitting with his sahaba, upon seeing a woman who was being reunited with her young child, she became reunited with him, and quickly she grasped him and held him to her bosom. The Prophet ﷺ pointed this out to his Sahaba and said, do you think that this woman would ever throw her child into the fire? They told him, no, O Messenger of Allah. He said, such Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful with His servants for their repentance to Him. لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more happy in the repentance of a servant and more keeping of a servant than this woman is to her child. Also, the Sheikh concluded with the final hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu arda, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Yudna al-Mu'min, the believer shall be brought closer to Allah on the Day of Judgment, until it will be a one-on-one discussion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah taking account of your sins, and Allah shall shield you with a kanafa. No one knows what this is, but it's something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said. Allah shall shield you from the sight of people, and Allah shall speak to this believer and he shall say, do you know that you did this and this on this and this day? فيقول المؤمن, the believer shall say, yes, O my Lord, I admit I did commit these sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall tell him, on that day I hid it from the people, and on this day I forgive it for you. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us all turn to Allah in repentance. And this was the final dua that the Shaykh Hafidhahullah made for us. He concluded by giving us the three steps for tawbah. Three things that you must do for your tawbah to be accepted. First, al-iqla', that you must stop committing the sin at that moment and not return to it. Second, you must regret, sincere regret, having committed this sin in the first place. And third, you must work righteous deeds and make the intention never to return to the sin again. If any of these three are not fulfilled, your tawbah will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh concluded by making dua for us and him. We thank the Shaykh Hafidhahullah for spending this time with us. And we conclude by saying we don't have time for the questions now, for Salatul Maghrib is soon. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته